payback time for Katrina.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. The story we've got for you this morning about the ongoing shakeup at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue doesn't have to do with a host from Fox News going to be press secretary. Rachel Dornhelm tells us why the head of the Small Business Administration is stepping down.
Hector Barreto headed up the SBA for 5 years. Democrats in Congress had been calling for his resignation recently. They cited unacceptable delays in loans for businesses affected by last year's hurricanes. The SBA received more than 400,000 loan applications after Katrina. Todd McCracken, president of the National Small Business Association, says Barreto's long tenure lent stability to an agency known for turnover at the top. Now, he says, the SBA needs a strong leader to reverse recent budget and program cuts.
It has been a consistent target of cuts, I think, because most people see, gosh, why are we giving more money to businesses rather than to other things like defense or poverty programs, et cetera.
President Bush has announced he'll nominate Stephen Preston as Barreto's successor. Preston is currently an executive at a private sector home services company. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
The window of sales opportunity for retailers in China may not be open forever. Consultant A.T. Carney says in a new study, China's retail market is becoming more and more saturated. The world's most populous country dropped to fifth on the list of most attractive markets for retail expansion. The new go-go market is India, which topped the list. All the shouting recently about the Dubai ports deal scuttled a plan for an Arab-owned firm to start operating some U.S. ports. And today, the House considers changing the workings of the panel that initially approved that deal. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli says a lot of American business types don't want to change things too much.
Worrying about who's running big American ports is one thing, but Todd Malin of the Business Group Organization for International Investment says there's something else Congress shouldn't be forgetting.
Foreign direct investment in the United States is an incredibly important part of our economy.
Important to the tune of 5.3 million American jobs and nearly $3 trillion nest egg dollars tucked in foreign-owned firms. But what about national security? Malin says that's any nation's top priority.
But at the end of the day, you have to have multiple priorities. We've got to be able to protect national security and enjoy the benefits of an open investment policy.
Even if Congress doesn't tighten up on foreign business takeovers, word seems to be out. After the Dubai ports flap, buyout-minded foreign firms had better tip off politicians before submitting their bids. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
From the No Surprise Here department, the nation's biggest independent oil refiner says profit in the first quarter jumped 60%. The San Antonio-based Valero says capacity expansion at its Port Arthur refinery has been pushed back 3 months because it doesn't have enough workforce. Today, oil's again climbed above 73 bucks a barrel. And on Wall Street Tuesday, the Dow closed down 53 to 11,283. The Nasdaq was down 3 to 2330, and the S&P was down 6 to 1301, and you are listening to Marketplace. If you saved all the money you'd earned so far this year, you'd have enough as of today to pay your annual tax bill. Hillary Wickay wishes you a happy Tax Freedom Day.
This year, the nonprofit Tax Foundation calculates that, on average, Americans will pay 31.5% of their earnings on taxes. That includes everything from federal income to local sales tax. Bill Ahern is with the foundation. He says Tax Freedom Day comes 3 days later this year than last. Blame the good economy.
As Americans earn more, they bump up into higher tax brackets and they pay more taxes. So when the American people are doing well, as they certainly are now, the tax man does well, too.
So happy Tax Freedom Day. You've just worked 116 days to pay your taxes. Now you can work the next 62 to pay for your housing, and 52 after that to pay for your health care. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
And you are listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Reuters, the facts without spin as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now. And by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to making America energy independent through increased use of public transportation. On the web at publictransportation.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. After a hearing on Tuesday, it's now up to the FDIC to decide whether Walmart can go into the banking business. The retail giant wants to start a bank so it could reduce costs on the millions of payments the company processes each year. Marketplace commentator Robert Reich thinks it's obvious what the FDIC should do.
Walmart says all it wants to do is trim costs on the millions of payments the company processes each year. It says it has no intention of expanding into other banking services. But most people don't believe Walmart. They see this move as the Walmart camel's nose under the tent of commercial banking. I say, let Walmart under the tent. Commercial banking is now one of the stodgiest and least competitive parts of the U.S. economy. Fees and prices are way too high. Service is lousy. The industry needs a shakeup. And I guarantee you, Walmart's low-price business model will do just that. Bear in mind also that many Walmart customers don't have much money. They need cut-rate banking services. Many of these people are excluded from mainstream banking. Walmart could help them. Critics say Walmart is so big, 3,900 stores representing 10% of the U.S. retail economy, that if it entered commercial banking, it would wipe out the competition. Then it would turn around and raise banking fees. Come on, you really think Walmart would wipe out the Bank of America, MBNA, Citigroup? No way. Other critics say a Walmart bank would put community banks out of business. That's baloney, too. Community banks have been crying wolf for years. They fought deregulation that allowed nationwide banking, saying that would put them out of business. But they are still thriving. They provide personal service that the big banks can't provide, and they fill an important niche. And then there's the charge that if Walmart got into banking, it would subject depositors' money to unreasonable risk. It would force its banking arm to lend it money at low interest rates. Or it would drain its bank of capital if it fell on hard times. Well, that danger is just as likely, if not more likely, at GM's banking arm, or GE's banking arm, or Walmart rival Target's bank. All of these commercial giants are in the banking business. The federal government ought to make sure all of them keep their bank deposits separate from their commercial businesses. That's no reason to single out Walmart. Look, I don't like the fact that Walmart pays its employees low wages and squeezes every last cent out of its suppliers. But give credit where credit is due. Walmart does cut prices. And that means it can give credit where credit is most needed, among the nation's poor who need cut-rate banking services more than anyone.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California at Berkeley. And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
A couple of thousand years ago, they made...